the words of that song don't excite you, you don't know them. Because it's some beautiful, beautiful words about the day when the Savior made you whole. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. My sins are forgiven. It's good to be back. And I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you for a reason you don't even know. Now, I told Rita a while ago, I'll tell you. I got up yesterday morning, about 7:15, left the house. I go over to, I think, well, I'll stop by Chick-fil-A and get an egg biscuit. Pull up, there's one car in the parking lot, except workers. I think, wait a minute, usually there's 12, 15 cars here this time of the morning. But I go in, and when I leave, there's still nobody there. I go over to the train depot, farmer's market, and some of the sellers aren't there, you know, usually selling produce. Not many customers, I think. This is strange. Come on back to Walmart, and we could, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you could have put all the cars in the Walmart parking lot in our parking lot here.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm thinking, did the rapture happen and I miss it?
That's what I thought.
This is the way it's going to look after the rapture. So I'm glad to see you folks here because that means that I didn't miss the rapture.
Amen, brother.
But you know, it hit me. One of these days, that's the way it's going to be. They're going to be empty parking lots, empty stores, empty buildings, because the Christians are going to be gone.
Amen.
Let me also say, sort of fill you in on my son-in-law Brian's dad, Ross. Some of you heard, some of you didn't. The day before I got there in Oklahoma, they put him in the hospital, said he had a massive blockage and needed surgery. Scary. Well, they kept doing scans and all this kind of stuff. Said massive blockage, needed surgery. We'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never got there. Then all of a sudden they come in one day and said, well, he didn't have a blockage after all. He just had some stuff that was twisted up and blocking things. And now it's all untwisted. And it's free. And then they said, but he's having trouble swallowing. And things are going down into his lungs instead of his windpipe, so we'll have to work with that. Maybe do some surgery on that. I texted Sarah yesterday, and she said, texted back and said, he's eating solid food. They're going to send him to a rehab facility for a few days and then send him home. All I know is the Lord answered a lot of prayer. I mean, he didn't have major surgery. And it looks like in a few days he'll be coming, going home. So I praise the Lord for that. And that brings you up. You know as much as I do now. And you probably know as much as any of the doctors know, because it just never was like the doctor said it was going to be. But I praise the Lord that he is some better. I will tell this funny little deal about it. I took a half bushel of my nephew's peaches to sort of bless them. And Ross is laying there in the hospital bed, you know, strapped down because he pulled some tubes out before. Can't eat anything or drink anything by mouth. His wife, Carolyn, comes in and starts eating one of those peaches. And he says, I wish you hadn't done that. Said, I smell that thing so good that I can taste it in my mouth. You're torturing me. So maybe he'll be able to get home and eat a peach before they're all gone. But it's good to be in God's house. We're glad you're here. And I pray God would bless you as we worship the Lord together. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for every blessing of life. Now, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide and direct. Lord, you know the needs of every person that's here. And Lord, we just bring you honor and glory and praise. That where we are, in the name of Jesus, he's here with us. So Jesus, we want you to know that you're welcome. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Manifest yourself, glorify yourself, bring honor to yourself. And Lord, minister to your people. May we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor End. It is good to have you back. Don't you all agree?
Amen.
And, after 17 hours in the car, and I think that's what you were, 17 hours, is that right?
23 in the car.
23, oh well, I'm sorry.
So it took seven naps now.
Seven naps. Seven naps and 23 hours. That's a trip.
And 1,100 miles.
Well, we thank God he's been, gave you travel mercy all the way. It is good to see you all this morning. As we do every Sunday morning, we will do our hymn singing at this particular time. And so if you would, it's on the board. It's for us to do together. It says, "He keeps me singing." And I'm glad he does. Let's all stand for it. Yeah. No. Okay. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? All right, let's all stand and sing together, please. Remain standing for prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank this day come out of your house, worship, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings this week. We have these all sick in our church. Lord, help now prepare our heart and pray for this house to take us here. It's a good word by King Jesus.
Maybe see.
stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly throne. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Well, again, we welcome you, and if you are visitors here today, Lord, we certainly welcome you, and you are indeed our special guest. Glad to have you with us today. I have a few announcements I want to share with you at this time. There'll be no evening services tonight. Wednesday will be our Bible study night again, Wednesday at 6:30. So if you haven't been coming and you haven't been attending with us, please come and do that. We'd love to have you on Wednesday night as well. And then next Sunday, we'll have a call conference, and we'll list that down in just a few moments. The youth and the children will meet at 5 o'clock. Adult prayer time will be at 5, and also the adult church training will be at 5:30. I got that right, didn't I? We're all set. My hero's gone. Anyway, I think that's right. I got that's right. All right, then the homecoming is coming up September the 7th, and you all be here for that and bring your field picnic baskets, and we'll have a good time, and the singing towers, or the towers, will be here with you for with the service. Call conference, as I said again, will be August the 17th, next Sunday. The call conference, the purpose will be deacon election. And by the way, if you're here and you haven't had if your name is still on the list and you don't want it on there, you need to be telling Jeanette or me, and we'll make sure. I hope you leave them all on there. We need as many as we can. We're interested in men to be deacons of our church. We certainly do. So the deacon election will be. The nominating committee will also be having their approvals for the officers and teachers for the ensuing year. So be sure to be ready for that as well. And then the building and grounds will have an update on the windows and the project. That's all announcements I have. Did I leave anything out anywhere? Kathy, I actually did it right. I get stars for that one, I think. All right. All right. If there are no further announcements, we'll go to our prayer request this morning. I have several that's been given to me already, either through Sunday school or otherwise. Tony has asked, and we'll keep remembering his daughter-in-law, Angie, as she is going to be going into surgery. She has cancer, and we want to, so we'll be sure to remember Angie as she goes into to surgery. Brother Jim is scheduled for surgery on the 20th. Let's be sure we keep him in our prayers, uplift him on that. Brother Jeff, you had a praise report, and I'm going to praise God for you. You got rid of that cast.
So yes,
you're okay.
Free at last.
Yeah, free. And so, but you do have some hurdles to go. I know you do. Coming back, and we praise the Lord for the ankle. You got an ankle to go, a foot next. So.
Yeah, but I'm moving forward now, and I want to thank everybody for the prayer.
Amen, brother. We need to remember Brother Kenny Wallace. Brother Kenny Wallace is the pastor of Mineral Springs. Brother Kenny Wallace is going to have heart bypass surgery. And I can tell you now, there's a lot of good life left after that. I had one 32 years ago. And praise the Lord, I'm still with you and feeling good. And not had a moment's problem since. And I praise God for it. Because He's the only one who could have done that. And my cardiologist tells me every year, you know you're a miracle worker, don't you? I say, yep, I know who did it. And so that's a fact. So I praise and lift up Brother Kenny to you. Let's remember our kids and young people going back to school. Let's remember. Be sure to remember them. Remember the teachers too, right, Kathy? Okay, we need to do that. Good to hear the praise report with Brian. Absolutely, we lift up that to the Lord, and we thank God for the praise report. Have I left anybody out anywhere? Yes, sir, Robert.
Monroe Caldwell. He's been added to the list. I've added him. Monroe Caldwell.
Okay.
And Lloyd List.
And Lloyd List, okay.
Just finding out they got cancer.
Okay. All right, yes, Kenny?
I have another praying report.
Okay, let's go, Kenny. Amen. Amen, brother. Aren't you glad, Kenny, that God is able?
Amen.
Amen, brother. And aren't you glad that God's got to give us a yes a lot of times? A lot of times. And I like that. Yes, sir. Prayer is strong. Anywhere else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you now, Lord, in prayer and thanksgiving. But Lord, at first we want to acknowledge who you are, and we believe in you, Lord, as our awesome, awesome Yahweh God. You're the only one. You're the only God. And we thank you for it. But now, Lord, before we ever ask you for anything and bring these petitions to you today, Lord, help us to be thankful for the blessings we have. Oh, Lord, they're too numerous to mention. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the praise reports we've heard this morning. We praise report for Brian. Thank you for that, Lord. We praise report for Jeff, Brother Jeff. We lift him up to you as well. Lord, we also want to continue to pray for Brother Bobby Williams. We lift him up to you. Ask, Lord, that you give him strength. Ask, Lord, give him courage, we pray. Then, Lord, as we remember the daughter-in-law, Angie, we pray for her. We lift her up as she is about to go through surgery, Lord. We lift up Jim today as he is planning for surgery on the 20th. We pray for him. Then, Lord, as Brother Kenny Wallace, we pray for him today, Lord, as he is about to go through surgery for heart bypass. We pray for him, Lord, and all those, Lord, who will be attending to him. We ask now, Lord, just a special blessing upon the children, the kids, and all the young people going back to school. We pray for them and the teachers. We pray, Lord, that you will give them safe time and valuable time of learning. And Lord, we as we go forward, Lord, we will also remember the Lord in Monroe, Lord Lisk. And then, Lord, as we think about Kenny's praise report that he shared with us, we thank you, Lord, for restoring Kenny to his health. And Lord, we praise you for it. And now, Lord, as we go forward, we pray, lift up Brother Ed to you as he will be here, Lord, and have the message today. We thank you for him and thank you for him being home. We thank you for the travel mercy you gave to him. And now, Lord, with all these blessings, we pray in your wonderful and wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up now. We're going to sing one for you.
I think Tonda may have picked this one out, so it's your fault. No, this is a beautiful. You got a couple books, because I don't know that I know all the words. I made some notes. This is one that you're going to be familiar with, but we decided to do it acapoco or without any music. No, a cappella. We're going to do it. I think some of the prettiest singing comes in harmony through a cappella. Mm-hmm. And no offense, Brenda. I love the music too, don't get me wrong, boy, I do. As a matter of fact, Brenda, we're not going to be able to do it without you. So give us a key, please, as we sing Blessed Assurance.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Earth. angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song.
Children, you're dismissed.
Thank y'all so much. A little chorus that we sang, I think, for invitation about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
We sing it fairly often. And the way I remembered it, I had the verses a little different than they are in the hymn book, but I like my arrangement
better anyway. Little chorus, you know, goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And the way I arrange it, the next verse is, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus.
My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Amen. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Now we sing that, but do we really mean it? Do we really mean that we want to follow Jesus? I mean, it sounds good here in church. But what about every day? Are we willing to turn our back on the world? You know, there's some places you can't go, some things you can't do, and follow Jesus. Are you willing to carry your cross? Now, your cross will look different from your neighbor's cross, but there will be some sacrifices that you'll make if you want to follow Jesus. I was thinking this week, and we don't know from the Bible how it worked out, but you know, a number of times Paul would go to a town, he would preach and he would teach, people would get saved, they get a little church started, and then a riot would break out. Paul would get stoned or thrown in jail or whatever, and the leadership of this new little church would say, "Paul, you get out of town and we'll handle it." Now we read all about Paul's suffering, but you ever something? What about those folks that stayed behind and tried to straighten out the mess? They were in danger too. We don't know their stories. But their cross was different than Paul's. They didn't get stoned. Your cross will be different from somebody else's. And are you willing to follow if nobody's with you? I remember, I don't know, 50 years ago, a young lady came to me and said, "Ed, there's only one other Christian in my place of work." And she was married, and this Christian was a man, and he was married, and he said, "That's the only person I get to fellowship with for lunch when we take our break." And she said, "I know that's not good." Are you willing to be alone to follow Jesus? To walk a lonely path? How committed are we? Do we sing the words, or do we really mean them? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, if you go follow anybody, you gotta be behind them. If I say I'm gonna follow Leonard to his house, and we go out here and he goes this way and I go that way, I'm not following. In order to follow, I'm going to have to stay pretty close. Even if I get behind him, I've got to stay close enough to see whether he turns down Booger Hollow Road or whether he goes straight. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be in the same direction. You know, the Bible says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be going in the same direction. Now, what are some ways you can follow Jesus? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to go to church. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. "And he," talking about Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." It says Jesus' usual practice was to go to the synagogue. Now, we have church, not synagogues. Of course, I'm sure they have synagogues in Jewish circles even today, but we have church. And if we're going to be following Jesus, we're going to be in church regularly. Now I realize there are times when we're our work schedule, if you're an EMT or a nurse or a doctor or whatever, we may, fireman, policeman, we may have to miss some Sundays. If we are a caregiver for somebody else that's going, you know, they're sick, they're dying, we may miss some Sundays. Everybody gets sick now and then, and we miss a Sunday. But are we faithful to the Lord's house as often as we could? I haven't heard anybody pray this in, I guess, 50 years, but I remember as a kid, those old timers, they call on to pray at prayer meeting, and they'd say, Father, forgive us, and Lord, we commit to be at church unless we are providentially hindered. Providence, God, said, unless God hinders me, I make a commitment to be at the Lord's house. I haven't heard anybody use the word providentially hindered in, I don't know, forever. But what we're saying is we're going to be in the Lord's house if we're going to follow Jesus. All right, flip over to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and be a good place. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to spend time with the Lord, finding out His will for us. His will for us. John 4:34 says, Jesus said to him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus said, my job, my task is to do what my heavenly Father sent me to do. Now if you flip over another chapter, chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus answered, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. In verse 19, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The whole point is, Jesus said he didn't do anything on his own. It was always at the instigation of the Father. In another place, he says, I didn't say anything on my own. All I said was what I heard the Father saying. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to find out what God's will is for us. I don't know what God's will is for each person. I just have to find God's will for me. And if I find God's will for me and you find God's God's will for you, it'll all work out. I was talking with somebody about some of the missionaries that I talked with last week. And there's one couple, and I remember when they were missionaries to the Philippines. The wife is Filipino, I think. The guy looks just like all of those other white guys here. Now, they're missionaries to Israel. They were in the Philippines. God brought them back to Tulsa. And now God has sent them to Israel. They're seeking God's will. A dozen years ago, God sent my daughter and her family to Australia. And now he's brought them back. It'll be exciting to see what ministry. I know she'll be teaching for a while at Oral Roberts, teaching in the biology department. Don't know what Brian will be doing yet. What ministries the Lord will open for him. If you remember from the newsletter a week or so ago, when he went to Papua New Guinea and 1,100 people got saved in a week's time, I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to go back for another week or two. I don't know what God has for him, but they'll be seeking God's will. What is God's will for you? What's God's will for you? here for a minute. How many men called up Jeanette and told her, take my name off the deacon list and didn't even pray about it? You just didn't want to be a deacon, okay? You didn't want to be a deacon. Did you pray about it? What is the will of God for your life? If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to be spending time, and you know how often it talked about Jesus getting up way before daylight, going out in a mountain or someplace in the wilderness and spending time with the Father. It's amazing what God will show you if you spend time with Him. It's got to be a deliberate thing. You can't be an afterthought. I'm in my car. Oh, Lord, what's your will? You know, I got to know next 2 minutes. No, you've got to spend some time to get to know Jesus. And talk to the Father and allow Him to show you His will for your life. Not His will for my life, His will for your life. If we're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be a constant communication with the Heavenly Father. If we're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be a deliberate attempt to see people saved. Turn with me back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to be looking after the lost people, trying to get them saved. What did he call those disciples? You were fishers of fish, but now I want you to be fishers of men. Fishers of men. And if we're not trying to get people saved, we're missing out on following Jesus. That was His purpose, to come to people that were on their way to hell and bring them into salvation. And following Jesus and trying to get people saved is going to look a little different for every one of us. You've got your personality. Your personality may be different from mine. You've got your experience. You've got what you know about the Bible. You've got your opportunities. And everybody's is different. I know over the years, 3 or 4 people, that if they could get an audience with Putin over in Russia, about the first thing they'd say is after the thing, glad to see you, Mr. President. Do you know Jesus? They're that bold. I probably wouldn't be that bold. I'd probably say, Mr. Putin, I'm praying that you'll come to know Jesus. Let me ask you, don't raise your hand. How many of you have a prayer list of unsaved people? We need a prayer list of unsaved people. We need to be praying for them. We need to be living a godly life before them. And folks, I can't stress how important it is. If you're going to witness to people and get them saved, they got to see Jesus in you. Now, I finished up my notes Friday evening. I always make a few in case I get up here and go blank. Coming down St. Martin Road, the Lord reminded me of two things this morning, two situations, and they're both bad. In one church, I had this church member who was off with some buddies, and he was drunk. D-R-U PK on alcohol. And he looked at the clock and he says, "Oh, I gotta go. My church is having a revival and I sing with the choir." Now, how many of his fellow drunks you think wanted to go to church with him? No consistent witness. I think of another guy that in a different church leader. And he's always coming in telling him about the people at his workstation, his place of work, they invited to revival, invited to church, what special service. But I noticed none of them ever came. And I thought it's strange that he invited, nobody ever came. And I don't know, about 8 or 10 years down the road, because he was a prominent leader, I needed his signature on a paper or something or other. And I stopped by his place of work. I walk in, you know, and I said, "Well, where's so-and-so's workstation?" They told me. I go back there, and there's this nice big pornographic picture hanging on his workstation. You think they wanted to come to church with him? Folks, if we're going to win people to Jesus, we got to live like a Christian before. If they see hypocrisy in us, they're not going to want what we have. We have a prayer list. We pray for them. We live a consistent life. And as we have opportunity, we share Jesus. I've got one or two people that I know they won't take a verbal witness from me. But I'll print off a copy at the house and mail them a newsletter every week. And they do comment on them. They're getting a witness, even though I'm not saying anything verbally to them. We find our ways that the Lord leads us to witness. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save the lost." And you remember the other occasion where he, or several occasions where he said, "Behold, the fields are white unto harvest." Notice there's lost people everywhere. Interesting, in each of the services at the mission conference, they'd have a missionary couple come up and talk a little bit about their work. And one of the guys that came up, he was talking about his work in India. He says, "India is a soul winner's paradise." Now we think of India, Buddhism, Hinduism, whatever else that they worship there. He said it's a soul winner's paradise. He's having fun leading people from the nation of India to Jesus. Opportunities all around us. People dying and going to hell every second. Are we seeking and saving those who are lost? And are we doing it with compassion? Are we doing it with compassion? Let's look at two scriptures. Go back to Matthew 23 and verse 37. And here's Jesus talking. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children, thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wing, and you would not." Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, I see your lostness. I see your need. And I want to just hug you. I just want to love on you. I just want to protect you." And Mark 6:34, same idea. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them all many things." Jesus was brokenhearted. He had compassion, a love, a care for those who were lost, those who were hurting, those who were in need. Now, I'm going to give you two more bad examples. Because this is so vitally important. When we were moving into the house that we bought in Broken Arrow, guy stops his car and he says, I live in this house over here and I'm the pastor down at such and such a Baptist church. And he told us where it was. And I knew the area, so week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, Pamela and I went to church there. Right when you're making the announcements and everything, said, let's have fellowship time. Everybody stood up. How are you? How are you? How are you? She, except nobody did how are you to me and Pam. We got home, she said, you know, they ignored us, didn't they? Well, yeah, they did. But that wasn't the worst part. About 2 weeks later, a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, I've forgotten which, doorbell rings. I go to the door and there's a couple of guys there. One of them in a very gruff, sort of hateful voice, did you come to our church a couple of weeks ago? And he named off the church. I said, yeah. Come on in, tell us about the church. I ain't got time for that. And he sort of threw me a box of cookies. Oh, by the way, do you know where address so-and-so is? Hey, man, I just moved here 2 weeks ago. I don't know where that address is. Bye. And he was gone. You know, they were checking off a box and they were keeping the preacher from being mad at them. Don't do anything to keep me from being mad at you. Or to check off a box. Do it out of compassion and love. That's the way Jesus ministered. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to do it out of love. Out of caring for people. Now, if I'd have been lost, you know, if I'd have been a lost person who visited their church, I'd have thought, you know, that those Christians are a bunch of jerks. I don't believe I want anything to do with Christianity. It just saddened me to think that here was a group of people, they were out doing their duty, but at the same time, they came across as, I don't really care about you. Our church doesn't really care about you. We ain't even got time to come in here and tell you about our church. And that broke my heart. The other one, I think I've told this one before. Most of you, I've told a number of times that my dad didn't get saved until very late in life. You also know that I drove thousands and tens of thousands of miles. Dad sitting in the pasture seat as we go into the peach orchard or to the farmer's market or wherever. We had a lot of conversations. Some of them I'll take to my grave with me about a lot of things. But one thing he told me, again, made me real sad. He said, you know, every so often, I come over from the church, my home church, trying to get me saved. And he said, back early years ago when we were first married, talking about him and Mom, I went to church a few times just to see. And he said, the very men that came and tried to get me saved would push me off the sidewalk, rushing past me to get into the church. And said, after a couple of times of that, I never went back. And I think how his life would have been different if somebody said, oh, glad to see you, Mr. Louder. Come on in. Do you have anybody to sit with? No, sit with me. Sit with my family. So glad to see you. His life might have been different for 40 years rather than get saved at 67 or 68. He might have come to see me baptized, but he didn't. He didn't see me preach my first sermon. A lot of things that he didn't do that he might have done if he'd have been treated differently because there was no compassion. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to love people with compassion. The whatsoever we do for the Lord, we need to do it with love. Love for Jesus. Love for people. Our son, I have decided to follow Jesus probably hundreds of times. And I have to ask myself, do I really mean it? Do I really mean it? You may have sung it just as many times as I have. Do we really mean it? Do we want to follow Him? We want to turn our back on the world? We want to carry our cross? And we're willing to do it if nobody goes with us? Would you stand for the benediction? Not the benediction, the invitation. If there's somebody that needs to give your heart and life to Jesus, we invite you to come. If somebody needs to come to the altar and pray, we invite you to come. Some other decisions on your heart, just something you want to share with me, we invite you to come as we sing.
Near to the heart of God. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Jeff.